Russ. You want to turn that down just a little bit here? Guys, Tim Stein here with West Talk Radio. I know you're tuned in and listening. You're waiting for WTR Sunday night to start. And we're going to start in just a second here. But if I can have your attention now, everybody in the chat room. Hey, Randy? Yeah, Randy, quit typing for a second, okay? Listen up, everybody, please. This is kind of an important thing going on here. As part of our new direction with WTR, we need everyone's cooperation on this now. Now, as members of our live chat, you are all basically cast members of WTR Sunday Night. And as you know, we've got thousands of downloads every week of our podcasted program. Now, what we need is just a little bit of help from all of you to make the archive show just that much better to help reflect these changes. I understand that a lot of you like to chant certain things during the show, but even though we're pushing to be a little bit of an edgier show, we still have to maintain a little bit of decorum for our podcast listeners. So this way we won't have to censor the product during the archiving. If you could refrain from using some of the more vulgar language in chat, like, you know, the Spuds and A-hole chant in chat, you know, or when Mace's internet connection drops out, don't chant "you effed up." You know that word. It's just our goal to make our broadcast the best we can, so we wind up being a lot better in the long run than that other webcast, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, that's all I had to say. Everybody, thank you very much. Enjoy the show. We'll be starting in just a moment.
This is Christiane, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will, I am awesome.
I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
When the saints go marching in, dear Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, I'm just a weary pilgrim traveling through this world of sin, getting ready for my Savior. When the saints go marching in, now when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in.
And well,
I told you I wanted to do it. You know what I have to say? Fuck you, Tonio. Enjoy your winter. Saints are going to the Super Bowl and Brett Favre's dead, baby. Woo!
Welcome, everyone, to a very awkward moment right now. Thank you very much. Bug once again ruining intros here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is WTR Sunday Night, the wrestling show that has been a little bit more concerned about the football game going on, as I'm sure many of you were as well. But you know what? Good on the Saints, but the Colts are going to kick your ass. You've never been there. Oh, you Canadian, what do you know about football? Anyway,
no, you know, it's got to be something different when an Australian decides to tune into the football.
Woohoo!
Okay, I hope the Colts win the Super Bowl, but
everybody, shut up! Shut up! Let him make it finish. Come on now.
Fuck yourself.
Anyway, since you've heard them all already, I'll introduce.
Wait, my turn.
I was going to introduce you first, you fucktard. Anyway, I would say this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, joined, as always, by Mace.
Hello.
By Will.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
By the intro ruiner, Spug.
Fuck the Vikings!
Spug's an asshole.
I am.
Boy, that didn't last long. And, of course, Mr. Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to a victorious New Orleans Saints edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I don't know about you, but when the intro song was playing, I was singing along to it. I was, guys.
Hey, you gotta think Tim Santa Luca is out there somewhere getting drunk.
Yeah, quite possibly. Quite possibly he might be starting the riots that we're going to see in Nollins. But, yeah, no, I was singing along with that song, you know, when the Saints go fuck the Vikings, you know. Okay, I was using my own words, but.
Yeah, I'm wondering. You got a different version of the song than we do.
When the Saints fuck the Vikings. I'm doing everything I can to piss off Tony O. I think he just fucked right off and left the chat room, didn't he?
By the way, I just have to say, it's pretty funny that the last NFC Championship game that Brett Favre was in, he threw an interception to end the regular time and send it to overtime, in which the Giants won by a kick by Lawrence on a kick by Lawrence Tynes.
Yeah.
And in the next AFC Championship game he's in, a few years later,
yeah,
he ends regulation time on an interception.
There you go. Well, there's one small consolation, Spug. We don't have to put up with the Cleveland Browns ever making it to the finals.
That's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
3 years he'll be in the Super Bowl, so I don't care.
Sorry, Spug. You might have to be as old as 10 before you see that.
Ugh.
Okay.
You know
now
what?
No. That was. You know, I got to give him credit on. I don't want to, but two shots in one sentence. Omega. God damn you!
I'm that good.
You know
the practicing.
Colts, that good.
We're doing everything and not Spud talk here.
The Colts are in the Super Bowl this year, so I'm in. I hope they win.
Well, if the Colts win, they win, but I'm still gonna be cheering for the Saints.
Al, if the Vikings had made the Super Bowl, I can guarantee you I would have been rooting for whoever had played against them with very, very passionate fervor. But right now, because it's the Colts and Saints, I don't care who wins. If the Colts win, great, but I don't care who wins because it's going to be an interesting Super Bowl. And it's two teams I actually like and two quarterbacks I actually like.
Ah, okay. Well, I got a great idea. Why don't you do a show on, Thursday evening and talk a little bit about the football games.
Mm. If I can get a hold of a co-host.
There you go. You've got a couple to choose from.
I have a couple to choose from, but the one I want to use is, like, needs beaten.
Oh, well, that's beside the point. Because we are now about to talk wrestling.
No.
Yeah, so we'll do football talk later on at some other point in time, everybody. Once again, officially welcome to WTR Sunday Night. Thank you, all of you, for tuning in. It's great to see a lot of, quote-unquote, semi-new people returning to be entertained yet once again by us with our mental dribble, as it were, concerning the professional wrestling. Right up at the top of the program there, right before we started, did a little bit of a TNA parody thing. How many people in the chat room now, and you guys as well, how many of you saw the leaked video about the TNA having that little lecture to their fans?
Who do you think got it to you guys?
There you go. I know you did.
What about you?
Just saw it.
Well, you just saw it?
Yeah.
Okay, did you see it?
Yeah, I watched it the other night.
Okay, so we pretty much, everybody here pretty much saw it. There will be a few people in the chat room and tuned in on the Ustream that may not have seen it. So why don't we roll that clip as soon as you got it ready, Rock, let me know. And then we'll see why the parody for those maybe three of you who didn't see the video.
Most of the time, of course, anybody who doesn't know me or know what I'm talking about, I'm the director of production here, and I try and get all the elements up on the show. This is Bernadette Everlaw. She's my counterpart. She makes it for us to work.
I'm loving it.
As cast members, I realize I've never included you guys in what your role is. Nor have I ever
seen this. Is happening. Are you
kidding me?
Here's what we want to talk about. What we're doing here is we're trying. You helped us. On January 4th, the live show here, we had our highest rating ever in the 7 out of 10. A week and a half later, which was the tape show, we had one of our highest ratings, so we're holding those as well. And here's what's important to us. When you go to an arena show, when you buy your ticket, just like going to a baseball game, man, you can get down on the bad pitcher, or you can be like those old New Orleans Saints where you wore a bag over your head.
Well, you can't do that here.
But here, what we ask you, we hope we are giving you a great show that you'll enjoy and will be part of. But most importantly, you have to help us tell a story to the 2 million people who watch the show. Every time you come here, I want you to be excited. I know that it's difficult sometimes. If you change things, reality things right, but I want you to be excited. That's number one. Number two, sometimes you hear things going up here that are beyond what a child should hear or see on TV. Those things, we spend money editing out. We erase it. It takes a lot of editing. What I cannot have from the audience is curses, flip birds, gang signs that I may not understand. That's it. Winston Churchill, ladies and gentlemen.
I also work in production, and I had a comment about the pay-per-view. During the recent Monday Night Live impact, when people were saying, people were saying bullshit, and what they were doing on TV is they were muting the master left and right, so there was actually muting on TV. I think it would be more efficient if you muted the audience mic and not the whole feed, so you don't get complete silence. So that's it.
How many times did you have?
This guy rules.
I have mics all over. There's a mic here. There's a mic here. There's a mic under here. There's mics over here. And when you go in that, I cannot mute everything. So I ask you not to say BS. Say BS. Don't say the other thing. So, to carry this forward, to get the show going, and I'm not the principal, I've been the priest, I've been the lawyer, and I'm not the principal.
Ask him why he waits 6 years to do that.
Number one, I've got little kids here. And I don't want little kids here.
Why did you bring them?
Family part.
Why bring them?
I know my demographic is my friends up here, the guys that stand on the phone, but my future demographic and the growth in my audience is this young man standing here. So please, watch your language. Please, watch what you do. If I ask you to remove a sign, I'm not even sure the reason. Somebody saw something in a truck. Something may go on. Also, if you're obstructing somebody all night, we love signs, you know, but sometimes we have signs.
That guy!
We're going to be watching you, however. When we see this violation, have excitement, but you are cast members here. Our people, if they do something,
totally no fun. Totally no fun. Totally no fun.
So, please, Let's keep it active. It's TV14. So let's watch what we say. No fingers, no cursing. Please, I know it's fun to try and distract the talent up here, but they got to tell a story to 2 million people. You're part of us. You're helping us tell the story. Please don't try and distract us.
Yes,
unless you're done. Thank you very much. You've done a great job. Thank you.
And there it is, everybody. There's the TNA thing. I'm not sure exactly what to call it. You guys are all cast members, so don't fucking swear and don't hold up dirty fucking signs and don't try to fucking distract the fucking talent like you've been doing the last 6 fucking years. And don't chant "you fucked up" and don't chant bullshit and shit like that. Because, well, you know, we're trying to do something for TV, so you guys basically here in the audience smarting the fuck up.
In other words, don't be a real fucking crowd.
There you go.
And next there might be dancing.
Now, here's the thing, and you guys heard me talking about this. Stampede Wrestling did something similar. They didn't have, you know, the behind-the-scenes production guy come out and say, okay, yada, yada, yada. No, they actually had a retired wrestler come out. Dirty Duke Durango was brought in to be the booker for Stampede Wrestling some months after he retired. And after a couple of shows, before he officially did anything, right when he was announced as the, you know, quote-unquote commissioner booker, whatever you want to call it, he basically did something very similar. Got up in the ring and said, hey, guys, family show, a lot of kids around. Can we please do everything we can to eliminate the swearing? Those of you who are bringing signs are great. We love that you're all into the product. We love that you're supporting Stampede Wrestling as much as you do. But it's a family show. We can't have you people doing this. Now, would it have been smarter for them to bring out AJ Styles than this guy?
No, and here's where Mace and I are going to team up on you, Tim. You're talking about an independent show where your absolute target audience is the family that has nothing to do on a Saturday or Friday night, and you want to get as many of those people there as you possibly can and get them coming back. That's great. That's absolutely great. But with TNA, with a company who has a PG-14 rating and who over the past 6 years have claimed in their slogan and any of their production that this is wrestling. This is what we do. They've embraced the wrestling counterculture that hates WWE and hates the childlike mentality or childlike marketing that WWE does. And they've tried to do everything that they can to push themselves away from it. Now all of a sudden they're coming out and he said it right there. This is my target audience. This little boy right here. This is what I'm shooting for now. All you real wrestling fans who've supported us for the last 6-7 years, go fuck yourselves, because we don't want you anymore.
Mace, are you backing him up on that one?
Yeah, 100%. I did have an analogy for it. If you sort of go with the ideal of it, by doing this, they're proving something that I've thought for quite a while, and that's the wrestling industry is being pedophile. They're after the children, man. They're after the children.
It's like, fuck, man. How dare you equate professional wrestling, TNA specifically, to Rob Parks with CB Radio?
Oh, that's low.
Well, I'm not the one who heard talking about Rob and his relationship, the special relationship with a 14-year-old boy. Now, for those of you who want to know what the hell I'm talking about, check the archives for CB Radio. You might get a bit of a clue. Whenever they go up, yeah. Blame Rock for that one. sorry, Rock.
Always do.
But you have to understand, he's super, super fucking busy. And so, you know, the archive will be up by Monday. Yeah. Anyway, at probably the latest. But anyway, yeah, here's the thing. You don't want to alienate your hardcore fans, but you have to remember at the same time, your hardcore fans are a minority. The people with the money are the people with the kids, and if you do something or let something happen that Mom and Dad America or whatever are going to stay away from your show, your hardcore fans aren't not enough to fill the building. You're not going to be able to get yourself into a bigger, better arena, and you can forget about house show attendance when you do travel because word spreads.
House show attendance. Hulk Hogan's getting rid of the house shows. Tim, did you hear about that one?
No, he's talking about getting rid of the house shows until the...
So why do they need that extra audience? They might as well keep with the hardcore fans now.
But still, you know, they're
guaranteed
not going to...
Guaranteed money is guaranteed money.
They're not going to get rid of the house shows forever or permanently. Okay?
The way TNA ratings go,
right,
it's going to be a while.
He's right, Tim. Guaranteed money is guaranteed money. If I know... that if I keep some of the status quo in my business, some, not all, but some, and I'm going to get, say, we'll put an estimated 10 grand a month total, okay? Just for shits and giggles. I have no idea how much they make in a month, but I'm just saying. They get an estimated 10 G a month from their hardcore audience. And you're not doing house shows anymore, why are you going to eliminate that hardcore audience and eliminate the $10,000 that is going to make?
Okay, you're going to basically risk $100,000 in favor of $10,000.
But you're not going to get $100,000 because you're not doing house shows anymore.
Here's what I'm talking about, okay? First off, and I'm gonna get into a little bit more on it too. Here's what I'm talking about. First off, okay? They did this with Stampede Wrestling. Yeah. I know you guys are yapping house shows, whatever, small indie, whatever. You know, your target demographic, whatever. When they were letting the crowd get away with all of the chants and the vulgar language and the vulgar signage, their attendance was, you know, like a pretty good 250, 300. Then Duke comes out and he says that. Word got around and all of a sudden our attendance was up over 600 to 700 per show because they were bringing the family. So you can have this group of rowdy buggers who are really into their own thing, thinking, oh, yeah, we're most important thing for wrestling fans because we support fucking product all fucking time, so we should be able to fucking swear who the fuck cares a lot of fucking kids around. Or you could have that family of four come walking in and dropping, you know, so this guy who's dropping $20 doesn't come back. You lose $20. However, the family of four drops $80, so you gained $60.
Yeah, for how long, though? The family audience, I'm only going by Australian wrestling, they are just quick fix. Yeah, you might get that extra $60, but eventually that entire $80 is going to walk back out the door again because they can't be bothered anymore.
No, not if you keep them entertained. Now, if that's going on...
There's the question, Tim. Entertainment.
Well,
TNA's not doing that at the moment, are they?
Well... That's a whole other fish altogether. But at the same time,
it's not.
The parody. You can deliver entertainment without making it PG or NC-17 or rated R. It's possible. It's doable. And again, you can still put together an entertaining product. Now, we're pretty sure TNA is not guilty of that at this particular point. Especially after last Thursday's show, we'll rant about that a little bit later on too.
Tim,
but
here's the other thing.
Let me finish.
I got a point about your $80 thing, real quick.
All right, go.
You have the hardcore fan that paid $20 that walks out the door, and you got the family of four. But what you're not talking about is the other three guys that showed up with the hardcore fan. That's $80 right there. So what'd you do? You just broke even. You lost $80, but you made $80. You're at zero again. Would you rather have the 80? Yes, you did, because you made 80 off the family, and you lost 80 off the hardcore fans that walked out when you told them they couldn't have their fun and be wrestling fans. TNA and WWE are no longer letting wrestling fans at their shows. You know what they want? They want a mindless zombie audience.
Well, guess what? That happens to be where the majority of the freaking money comes from, is the mindless zombie audience. You have to cater to the masses, not the specified group. For every one of those hardcore people that walk out, for every one of them, you've got a family of two, three, or four that come in to replace them because it's family friendly.
Can I ask something here?
Absolutely,
no.
Will. I said yes, and I'm the boss.
All right, so we're arguing over the money that will be lost by not doing house shows and whatnot. Here's a question. How does TNA actually make money? Doesn't the entire Impact Zone get in for free?
TNA makes money by selling the through advertisements. Okay, now that's the thing of any media business at all. Okay, radio makes their money from selling ad airtime for advertising. TV makes money by selling airtime for advertising. And if you think that spending that 50 cents for the New York fucking Times is keeping them in business, I got another thing to tell you. They make their money by selling advertising. That's why there's advertising all over the place. That's where the money is. I've been in advertising. I've sold advertising. I know exactly how lucrative it is. Now, if you piss off that sponsor enough, they're going to say, well, forget it. We're going to go support something else. And that will happen. On top of that, you have to take into account, in the United States, all media is governed by the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. And there are certain types of rules for regular cable TV. And there are seven words you can't say on television.
Fuck shit.
And
if motherfucker tits.
There we go. Thanks, Will. With reference to
George Carlin.
Yeah. If you go across that line, first off, the network will take you off, and you don't have a TV show where you can say we're not doing house shows till the TV show improves. Well, you might as well pack it up, because if you're not going to do house shows, you've got nothing, because you lost your TV contract because you couldn't control those people who keep swearing on TV. You cannot do that. I can understand where this guy is coming from. I'm not defending him. I'm not sticking up for him. As a matter of fact, a little bit later on, I've got a few things that we're going to throw up on Ustream, and I'm going to ask the entire chat room, all of the viewers, to vote on something that I've got in the works that I'm working on, and I'm going to let that drop a little bit later on in the show. It might be a little bit of a big deal as far as the professional wrestling scene goes. Just stick around for that. There are a few people who know what's going on. Rock knows exactly how hard I've been working on this project. And there's a lot more coming to it. But anyway, back on
Tim,
track.
Before you start trying to jump too far back on track, with this video that's come out, I'll pose a question to you specifically, seeing as you're the one who seems to be on a very defensive kick at the moment.
The only one
is this sort of a scene where they're wanting to get rid of those hardcore fans because they're not giving the reactions that Hogan wants?
See, yeah. I was just about to say something about that, actually.
Okay,
let me throw out real quick. I'm with Tim in that I understand why the guy is doing it. I don't like it, but I understand it. Now, if you remember at Genesis, when we were talking about it, the crowd was like, we want six sides, and Hogan basically told the crowd off without telling them off. And what this all says to me, and that's exactly what Mace just asked, is it TNA now trying to get the reactions that they want to try and sell their product more the way they want it, such as when WWE will pipe extra chants into the arena, or when they'll take away signs from the fans because it has something they don't like, even something as mundane as the three letters TNA?
Okay, well, as far as taking away signs, there are certain things that I would be in agreement with taking something away. Anything
you can't have, like, fuck on a sign, but, you know, still.
Yeah, fuck you, Hogan. No, if you want
to. I don't even have WTR on a sign.
Okay, if you want to phrase it, go for it. WTR, most people in TNA, in the office, don't know what WTR would be. And they might think it's a local indie wrestling promotion, you know?
Yeah, I was about to say, we all remember the little incident with a certain Mr. Martin and him being pulled aside by WWE security on a Raw taping.
Yep, that's a little different. WWE is extremely familiar with WrestleView. WrestleView's been around since, what, 1996?
Yeah, something like that.
Something
makes
like
us feel
that.
Old.
Yeah, a lot of the, you know, there are a lot of professional wrestlers who grew up actually reading WrestleView, and some of them actually, you know, even got interested in the business because of websites like WrestleView. And for them not to be at least heard of by WWE offices is a little ridiculous. Now, TNA is a different animal altogether with something like that. WTR is a little bit of a different animal for TNA. I know for a fact, at least in the past, WrestleTalk Radio has been monitored by the WWE. And, yeah, they've paid attention to what we've said.
Event. Fuck you.
There you go. There are a couple of things that we've done that have really pissed them off. There are a couple of things that they're happy about at the same time. So I understand that completely. Now, Dragon Man in the chat room said in 2002 he had a sign with WrestlingNewsLive.com when he went to a show and WWE didn't care. Now, 2002 was a slightly different time. Crackdowns started after 2004 with wrestling, with WWE at least. TNA was very internet wrestling community friendly right up until 2006.
Russo.
Not Russo. Somebody in the office. There's a guy in the office who's really got his head up his own ass. And I can't remember his name right off the top of my head at the moment, but he's in charge of letting the talent now go on all of these, you know, internet wrestling shows for interviews and stuff like that. And I've had to, Ross Foreman is his name. That's it. Just came to me. Ross Foreman. And Ross Foreman, when he first took the position with TNA, actually surfed the entire internet listening to all of these wrestling shows that kept asking TNA if they could interview some of the talent. And previously TNA was like, yeah, shit, no problem. You know, we need all the free publicity and exposure we can get. Of course, TNA back then wasn't on a national network or a cable network. They had to get by being on pay-per-view. And
wait, no.
They're going to spend $10 a week.
2006?
Late 2006 was the return of the monthly pay-per-view format and, I believe, the beginning of Impact.
They were already on FSN by that time. I had my hernia surgery in the summer of, I want to say, 2005, and they had already been on FSN by then.
Yeah, but it's
no, 2004. They were already on FSN by 2004, so yeah, they had already been on TV by then.
Yeah, but that's not a national or international market. But at the same time, it's still in the timeline. It was right around 2006 Ross Foreman started cracking down. Okay? He's listening to all of these shows on the net. He listened to WrestleTalk Radio, and he listened to Wrestling News Live. And you remember, those of you who are old school enough to remember Wrestling News Live would get phone calls from America's Most Wanted almost every show. They'd be able to talk to anybody they wanted, whenever they wanted. They'd go down to the Impact Zone and hang out with the wrestlers for during the tapings. And all of a sudden, Wrestling News Live, the Trey Dog and JSK, weren't talking so much to the TNA guys. Okay? They weren't talking to the TNA guys.
Until they left the company.
You know, until after they left the company. And you can thank Ross Foreman for that. And as a matter of fact, Rock is handling this now because that's what he does. But
now wasn't it partially WNL's fault for starting that with the Kid Cash incident?
That's
a good point.
Where everybody accused WNL of getting Kid Cash fired. WNL did not screw Kid Cash. Kid Cash screwed Kid Cash.
Thanks a lot, Trey Dog. Good going. You ruined it for
a Canadian us. Used that line?
No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
Do we need a third replay of this? Seriously?
Did Cash sabotage himself on purpose because he wanted to get fired? Okay.
Yeah, he was bitching about working at TNA at the time.
Oh, yeah. No, he wanted to get fired, everybody.
Yeah.
And he was looking for an outlet. It just so happened he goes on Wrestling News Live, and that's where he took off. It could have been Monday Night Mayhem. It could have been Wrestle Talk Radio. It could have been In Your Head online if those fuckers were on the air at the time. I think they may have just started out, as a matter of fact. But
I remember reading all about that, too. Oh, that's weird now.
Yeah. Now,
kind of listening to it.
Yeah, Wrestling News Live got into a little bit of a controversy over that, but it wasn't them that did it. It was Kid Cash that did that on Wrestling News Live. And for those of you that listen to it, such as Mace, you'll remember that he basically tore TNA a new one, whether they needed it or not. But he tore a good couple of strips off of TNA. And it's like guilt by association, practically, pretty much. But yeah, that was a bit of a catalyst for Foreman coming in, Ross Foreman. And he told the majority of these internet wrestling sites, no, you can't talk to our talent as long as they are contracted with us. We do not appreciate the vulgarity of your program. We do not appreciate the swearing on the program. And he focused on the usage of language on the internet shows, as opposed to, you know, TNA being ridden into the ground. Because back then, people were a lot more supportive of TNA. I, you know, back when I was doing The Voice of Wrestling, I started a petition, you know, get TNA on TV. We want our TNA. It was a petition. And I sent that to Spike TV. And I had like 100,000 people electronically sign that petition. And I have no idea if it did anything to help influence Spike TV. I'd like to think it did, but I'm not going to be that pompous and conceited. I'm bad enough as it is without going that extra distance. But anyway, you know, nobody was running TNA down. Everybody was looking at TNA as a great alternative to the drivel that was being given to us.
How times have changed.
No shit. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on when we bring up the train wreck that was last Thursday.
Yeah, I was about to ask, where the fuck are we going with this conversation?
Oh, man. Definitely something else. But, you know, back in the day, TNA was good and everybody supported it. And Ross Foreman said, no, you can't talk to any of our fucking people because you say fuck too much. And I don't know. He's, you know, a Southern States American left-wing conservative Bible thumper. I don't know. But
retard.
Yeah, you have to jump through about 350,000 hoops to be able to get TNA to say, yes, you can talk to AJ Styles on the show. And so that's, you know, that's what's going on with them right there and right now. As far as, you know, as far as what you want to argue about, Spud, and how you want to back him up, Mace, Will, sounds to me like you understand where my point is. I'm not defending him, but I am saying that you do not want to risk losing your TV contract.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, look at the network they're on. It's Spike TV. They have shows like Mancers and A Thousand Ways to Die. Fans chanting bullshit on a wrestling show is par for the course. My only worry stemming from this is that they're going to go too much like WWE, and before we know it, there's going to be a no blood rule and you know, just stupid shit like that.
That won't happen with Bischoff walking down to the ring.
Yeah, thank God Bischoff walked down with blood all over his face, so we still got that. It's just, I'm only speaking for myself. I might be speaking for others. I don't know. I'm just saying that from this video, I just, you know, worry about them stemming into the... well, you know how one of the things I've constantly said I enjoy about TNA is the indie-like crowd. it's like main, it's a indie crowd on a mainstream platform because the crowd gets really involved and we've seen the streamers and stuff like that. That's my only worry stemming from this is that we're going to lose that and because the crowd in Orlando can be great if they want to be.
If they want to be. And, no, I understand exactly what you're talking about there, Will. The thing about TNA, the thing that I used to like whenever I used to watch it religiously. And those of you who know WTR know that I took a hell of a break from TNA because I was absolutely sick at watching not just Joe Blow wrestler, but I had friends, a lot of friends who are wrestlers who were working for TNA being misused like fucking crazy. Absolutely. And I watched these guys, and I remember seeing them in Stampede Wrestling or whatever indie wrestling show that they were doing, and I, knowing what they're capable of and how good they really are, being misused, it just, that was just as bad as the bad storylines, the bad angles, and all that other crap. All right? And so I couldn't watch it. And then this live thing happened, and it hooked me, so I watched the first live show after the first new taping after the live show. And all I can do is shake my fucking head over this. But, what you're talking about, Will, TNA has always had that feel of a big-time product with an indie crowd. And if you go to a good, successful indie promotion, the crowd is part of the show. The crowd helps make the show.
Well, hell, just watch some of the old ECW, or watch some of the Ring of Honor stuff and just how the crowd gets into it.
So, yeah, like Ring of Honor, it's a little notorious, but point proven with them. There are some Stampede Wrestling shows that I used to have up on the internet that proved that point. The crowd would really get into it. And I remember one show, Ravenous Randy Myers was chasing the World Heavyweight title in Stampede Wrestling, and he told the crowd, if I win the title, you all get free pizza. And so the crowd would, every single week, every single show, they would come, and it was the crowd focused on that whenever Randy came out. And they became part of the storyline right up to the point Randy won the title, and the crowd all got pizza. It was the last show before Christmas 2007, I think. And sure enough, Randy wins the title, and out of the back room brought out all of these boxes of pizza. And okay, now, right leading before that, 2 weeks, like two shows previous, some of you might be familiar with the name J.J. Sexy. He was managing the World Heavyweight Champion at the time in Stampede Wrestling. And he got all of these pizza boxes and put them up on a table in the corner of the room. Okay, and this is how into it. How interactive the whole thing got. He got all these boxes put up there, empty pizza boxes. Gets on the mic, says, "You want your free pizza? Okay, fine. We're gonna, he just did the whole thing." And sure enough, half of the crowd went running to the table in the middle of his promo, and he waited for them to open up the boxes. They were all empty. Right? And it was like, this is how close you're ever gonna get to free pizza, trailer park trash, moron, inbred, whatever.
That's awesome.
he just ralphed on him, right? And so two shows later, Randy wins the title, and out comes the real deal. And everybody, at the end of the show, was given pizza, free pizza, just as Ravenous Randy promised.
That's fantastic.
So that's being creative on a wrestling show.
Okay, that was awesome creativity, and you can thank Dirty Duke Durango for actually taking something that Randy said off the top of his head in the ring while he was cutting a promo before a match, and he said, you know what? That would be a great Christmas present / thank you to the fans supporting us. When we finally give Randy the title, let's give them all pizza. So he made a deal with a pizza company who actually catered the thing, and there were like three different kinds of pizza, and everybody had pizza, and I remember standing in that ring, walking around with a video camera, and I've got it I have got that DVD here someplace. I should actually find it and upload some of the matches, the title match at least, with the pizza. I'm walking around taking video of all of these people eating free pizza, and I've never seen an indie wrestling crowd happier in my life.
And yet, you got a big place like TNA that's basically just turned around to the crowd to support them for a long time and gone, well, screw you!
Yeah, well, TNA is in a bit of a conundrum right now. They're going through growing pains because they are getting bigger. And they cannot continue to swim in a small pond. That's the problem that TNA is having right now. Now, what they've got to do, the number one thing they got to do is actually stop trying to be WWE and start standing on their own two feet. And we're
That obviously didn't work, did it, Tim?
Didn't work
what,
all that
been... ending on their own two feet or being like WWE because they're going one way with
Barth.
It.
Well, you know, they're trying to straddle two divergent lines that are getting further and further apart. Eventually, if they don't pick one, they're going to fall right down the middle. And that's
and
one
that's going to be awesome.
That's a huge crack. We're talking Rikishi sized.
Really?
But,
really?
You know, did I have to? Sorry. Didn't mean to give you the visual, Will.
Oh.
Well, then again, maybe I did. I don't know.
I haven't seen that ass in forever. Why you gotta bring it back?
Oh, just because I thought it was fitting.
Terrible person, Tim.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that ass doesn't fit anywhere.
There you go. Do you guys want to talk really quickly about last Thursday's Impact, or shall we take a break and then talk about it?
Rock said he wanted to get to a break.
Yeah, I think maybe we should take our first break of the night.
Yes, let us oblige the producer before he hangs up on all of us and just blows up the entire website.
He'll just hang up on you or just walk away. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk a little bit about last Thursday's TNA Impact, the first taping after the live show. Then we're going to preview the Royal Rumble, get into the great debate tonight, Shawn Michaels versus Randy Orton. Chris Benoit takes on The Undertaker. And, of course, we've got quick hits for the final segment tonight here on WTR Sunday Night. We'll be back right after this. Time again for the Wrestling Radio Awards, and WrestleTalk Radio has been nominated for Show of the Year and People's Choice.
And Tim Stein for Host of the Year. Really? Tim? What about me on TV Radio?
Yeah, Rob. Try showing up sometime. Head to www.wrestlingradioawards.com today and vote for WrestleTalk Radio.
And Tim Stein for Host of the Year.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Every single Wednesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topic, and you lead the discussion.
Hadlick with strike shoot. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better pressure. They score. Justin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play as you get to choose who winds up in dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
Certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is Bam Neely from the WWE. You might like me, you might not. You better respect me. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night. Yeah, Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right before the break, we were talking about the leaked video on the internet about TNA talking to the crowd saying, no more fucking swearing and shit like that, bitches. And then they went and they did their taping. And I don't know, this past Thursday night, really, a lot of miscues, guys. On the program, there's some really good wrestling, but a lot of miscues, especially the end of the main event, just totally destroyed a great main event. What they did at the end of it there.
Oy.
Oh, my mic was muted. Fuck me.
Hold on. What?
Yeah.
Who wants to take the charge on this one?
Me. I'll do it. It was great. Yeah, well, that ending was fantastic. Oh, I've never seen a better ending.
Okay, Will?
You're just mad because they made fun of Bret Hart.
Yeah, hang on. Will you...
Whoa. Who just said that?
You
Bug?
Did. Huh? Yeah, that was Bug.
Said what?
Say it
that
again.
Was Bug.
Tim's just mad because they made fun of Bret Hart.
No, I'm mad because they ruined an absolutely awesome match.
Really? Awesome?
Do you expect anything less from TNA? Come on.
That was a very standard AJ Engel match. It was
You act as if TNA actually is a wrestling company. Didn't you know they're in the entertainment business?
Starting to feel that way. Omega, did you see Impact?
Thankfully, no.
Good boy. Mace, go ahead.
It sucked.
Here's the thing about how bad it was, okay? They did their best ever.
Okay. I'll tell you how good it was. People have a go at Russo about all his bad ideas.
Yeah.
Hogan and Bischoff just made Russo look like a friggin' genius.
Which is kind of difficult. But they just did their best ever Thursday night ratings. 1.3 for a Thursday, which is about 4 points higher than they normally get.
And I could bet you that was because people wanted to tune in to see if the crap they read on the spoilers was true.
Well, here's the thing. Even with the crap they wrote on the spoilers, they tuned in and they stayed tuned in.
I watched it through YouTube. Does that count?
Actually, you get bonus points for not risking adding to their rating that night.
I was working.
There you go. You got bonus points at least, Will, so that's a good start. So anyway, if they keep doing what they did last Thursday night, the 1.5 that they got for the live show Monday and the 1.3 that they saw last Thursday ain't happening ever again. And now, this is just my opinion. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. That's all I got to say about it, really, seriously. I don't care that they got rid of the six-sided ring. I'm not going to sign a petition and bring back six sides. Call me a purist. Call me a traditionalist. I like the four-sided ring.
Can I call you a douchebag?
Can you what?
Can I call you a douchebag?
Yes, no. You can. No, that's not on the list. Anyway, that's one name that's not on the list. But still, I don't have a problem with them. You know, if they would bring back six sides, fine. Okay, they bring back six sides. I have heard that when they do their European tour, they're going over to the UK or something like that, they've got the six-sided ring going with them. Maybe it's...
leave it there.
Hey, maybe it's a work, guys. Ever stop and think about that? Maybe Hogan is thinking we're going to do this and swerve the crowd and then bring it back, quote-unquote, from popular demand. And if he does that, then you're going to have to grudgingly think that he's got some genius thinking.
But it's Hulk Hogan. We know better.
Wait. How did we go from this absolutely abysmal impact to talking about the six-sided ring again?
It's something called a segue, Will.
Do you want to keep discussing rings? TNA?
What?
Does he want to keep talking about this bad episode of Impact?
I don't want to talk about it very much at all, no. Do you?
Not really? I was just wondering how...
You have to talk about it, because you know what? They pulled a 1.5 2 weeks ago, which is their highest rating ever. And they went live, head-to-head. They had an hour jump on WWE, and they went head-to-head and pulled a 1.5 and pulled some of that audience away. And then they followed it up with this crap. It's proof. It is proof that Bischoff and Hogan and those there are so fucking full of themselves that they think they can put any old product out in the ring and give us anything they want, and we'll lap it up because it's not WWE and it's Hogan and Bischoff. They can go fuck themselves too.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speechless Interruptus. Will, what were you trying to say before he walked all over you?
I was just wondering how we got back to something we talked about last week. I don't know. I'm just sitting here listening, expecting Mace to just flip his lid, and it was just like it sucked, and then Mace died, and then you were talking about something I tuned out on.
No, you don't have to worry about me. We haven't really brought up Kennedy this week, so it's okay.
Hey, wasn't that Kennedy promo great?
Oh, God, you had to
fucking tuned out. I really tuned out. The second I saw that moron come on my TV, I'm like, nah, fuck this. I'm going to sleep.
What time?
Mr. Interruptus. Fuck that retard.
What time of the day does it come on your TV there, Mace?
Starts at about 10:30 on a Saturday night, so it's one way to get me to go to sleep early.
There you go. So, Mr. Anderson. I'm sorry. Every time I hear that name, I think The Matrix.
That's kind of how it started.
You should play that up so much.
Mr. Anderson and The Matrix?
He needs to come out dressed as Neo just once.
That would
Neo? What? Did you even watch The Matrix?
Neo was Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson's real name is Neo. I mean, come on
now. No, Neo's real name is Mr. Anderson. Get it right, Tim.
Something like, I don't know.
Change the hearing aid.
Depends on whether or not you're stuck in the Matrix or you've taken the trip into the rabbit
hole. Otaku Talk Live is on Tuesday night. Thank you.
I love derailing this. This is awesome.
Yeah. You guys do a really good job and keep it up. Anyway.
Let me bring it back to TNA for a second here.
Yep.
Anybody... Okay. Wait. Back to the Matrix.
Yes, we're in the Matrix, definitely. I've been a TNA fan for many, many years. I've been a very adamant TNA supporter at one point as well. Basically, after watching this week's show, they've pretty much lost me as a viewer.
Damn,
I actually bother watching it. It's been going downhill since the live show. After the live show, it's just been very bland, horrible, and it just makes me want to stop watching TNA. Like, I actually saw some old NWA On Fire episodes on my TV the other day. That was more entertaining than what TNA's put out.
See, I'm going to be honest. It's been bad, but they're not lost me yet, mainly because they've not done a Katie Vick.
You're young. Well, give it time.
I'm young. Give it time.
Yeah, there you go. Now, Will, we're changing topics completely. I'm sick and tired of talking about TNA for right now.
I just love the torture dragging it on.
There you go. Well, enough torture. Here it is. You went to a WWE house show over the weekend?
Yes, I did. They were here last night, actually.
Okay.
Raw house show.
Get to it live.
Okay.
Yes.
Before we get to you talking about that, I want to hear all about it and how much fun it was and stuff like that. But I'm going to get Rock to throw something up on the Ustream real quick so everybody can check this out while you're talking about it. As I'm reading in the chat room, there's a guy in the chat room who's like 40 years old, and he sits there wondering if wrestling will ever be like it used to be. You know, how it used to throw them every now and then, but nowadays it's just humdrum and stuff like that. Got distracted a little bit, but there it is. You got a little picture up there. You've got three different things to look at here. You've got A is Canadian Attitude Wrestling, B, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, or C, Canadian Alliance Wrestling. And you guys on the Skype, you can let me know which one is your favorite. I want everybody to tell me which one they like the best, and then at the end of the night, I'll tell you why I want to know. And now that that's up there, and we're waiting for everybody to throw in their picks, A, B, or C, in the chat room. Will, tell us about the house show.
Oh, man, it was awesome. You know, despite what they put up on TV every week, that'll either have us going, oh, that was decent, or, eh, that was terrible. I hate WWE. I'm never going to watch it again. Oh, wait, I'm tuning in next week. And despite all that, these guys can still put on just a fun house show. Just the crowd, it wasn't packed all the way, but they haven't been for a few years, but just the whole atmosphere was, can't even think of a word for it. It was just so awesome. I'll get to that in a moment, Ho. Anyway,
you can't survive after taking pictures of Cena, Will.
Wow.
Yeah, anyone that's got my Facebook, which is nearly nobody because I don't friend people I don't actually talk to. So it's like, what, three of you on here. I got pictures and videos and from it, and just, oh, it was awesome. I've got the results. The night started off, it was actually an ECW match. It was Tatsu versus Ryder. It was just your standard fare. Oh, look, here's the opening match with some ECW guys. You know, what they put on TV. Tatsu beat Ryder. After that, they wanted to do another one of those flagger all-American, American, 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 American over-the-top rope challenges, which, oh boy, I got to see what happened on Raw again. That was fantastic, watching Mark Henry dump Swagger. After that, it was Legacy versus Bourne and Primo, who I didn't know still actually had a job, so that was a shock to me. Legacy beat them. I was actually ready to get a video of Bourne's shooting star press because it's just so damn beautiful. And no, they denied us, the bastards. Let's see, Chris Masters beat some douchebag named Johnny Curtis, who I've never even ever heard of, so if you see him on ECW in a few months, have fun with that. Miz beat MVP and Carlito, who I also forgot was working, for the United, or defended the United States Championship, which, that was actually a pretty fun match. It was mostly MVP, or, Carlito and, Miz throwing each other out of the ring just to go, look, I want to beat up on the face, and, they had this really cool, spot, that had different pinfall combinations between three guys, like someone would go for the jackknife pin, then MVP would come up and, do the roll up and break up that pin into a pin, and they just did that a few times, and it was just awesome to watch. There's a really terrible match that featured the Divas, which, you know, that's standard fare for them. It was Gail Kim and the Bellas versus Maryse, Jillian Hall, and Alicia Fox. And for some reason, I think Maryse was high or something. Usually she's very snooty, very arrogant, and instead tonight she was running around, or last night she was running around like a schoolgirl. Like she was giggling and shit, she couldn't stay still on the edge of the ring, like she'd be on one corner and she'd be walking around over to the other side despite the match going on, like she had no idea what she was doing. Yeah, and Santino was the ref for that, so of course we got a bunch of comedy spots. Orton and Kingston had another match, which I got two or three videos of, and Orton was so over, it wasn't even funny. Like, the moment his music hit, I thought John Cena had walked into the place. The crowd was loud as hell for Orton, and I guess he just soaked it up, because once he got in the ring, he did his old arms open wide pose for everyone, which was cool to see. He still does that. And of course, Kingston got buried as normal, you know, because that's the only thing they always do for Kingston. For some reason, his push is dead. Triple H defeated the Big Show in a no DQ match, which had a few trash can spots and sledgehammer shot. I got a video of that, and then of course they had to get Hornswoggle involved. And then it was Cena versus Sheamus for the WWE title, and I loved this match for one reason. There is nothing sweeter than the sound of over 1,000 children with their hopes raised in the air, all going silent as one when Sheamus would pump kick Cena in the face. Nothing better than hearing Cena, Cena, Cena. Oh.
From all the girls, 13-year-old boys sitting around you, huh?
Yeah. Oh my God, I was surrounded by children, dude.
Damn. Could I ask you one thing, Will? How ghetto was that friggin' entranceway?
It was pretty ghetto.
I swear, the Australians get better treatment than that.
And you want to know something, Mace? That's the best they've done in years. Normally, we don't even have that little structure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I thought what we got down here was horrible.
And to think, we actually had a live SmackDown taping.
Like a friggin'...
Yeah, we actually had a live SmackDown taping here years ago in 2000. We even used to get Nitro and Thunder.
Wow.
I know our entrances are bad, man, but you just made our one look like a WrestleMania set, seriously.
Yeah, really. But the show itself was just awesome. I can't stress enough. I don't care if you like WWE or not, if you ever get the chance to go to a live event, go. Just sitting there in the crowd, soaking it in. You don't have commercials. You don't have annoying announcers. You just got the guys in the ring doing their thing. The shots you could hear all the way throughout the arena. You think it's loud on TV. Then you hear someone kick someone in the head, and it just echoes. And you just watch, and every shot you cringe because it looks like it hurts better, more than it does on TV. It's just an awesome, awesome experience, and I cannot wait for them to come back.
So, proof positive that WWE Live is a pretty fun experience.
It is. And what was funny was the last time I went to a show, there was like this little heel section in front of us, and it was notable because Shawn Michaels came out, and then Christian came out, and just this little section was going wild for Christian. And me and my friend, we were sitting there in our little surrounding of kids, and we realized, oh man, we're the heel section. We were rooting for Ryder, Swagger, Legacy. We went for our piss break during the Masters match. We rooted for Miz. We rooted for Orton. We liked the Triple H show match. We tried yelling as loud as we could amongst the children for Sheamus. It was just a good time. There was this one woman sitting in the next section. Like, we were right by the stairs, and she was on the other side of the stairs, about two rows up. You know, I could look back and see her. During the Cena match, it was the most annoying thing I have ever heard. This bitch was screaming so loud for Cena, I wanted to walk over there and put my foot in her mouth. It got to a point where she was going, Cena! Aah! Like, just yelling like she was having an orgasm or something all the way up here. She had a horse face. She's just screaming as loud as she can to a point it didn't even become words. It was just sounds emitting from her mouth.
There you go. You should have just told her, hey, you know, Cena's on steroids, no matter how much she denies it. Then whip down your pants and say he'll never have something like this.
But the best part, as mean as this is going to make me sound, they're continuing with Sheamus not beating Cena clean. He's not done it yet. And, of course, he won by DQ, or Cena won by DQ. And the way they did it that night was Sheamus pushed the ref, and Cena got the STFU on him. Well, Sheamus starts tapping, and the ref rings the bell. The kids and the women in the crowd go fucking nuts. They're just, Cena's in the ring acting like he had just won the championship, you know, like he was at the main event of WrestleMania, you know, he was selling it. I won the championship back. I'm awesome, you know. It was, like, fantastic just listening to this crowd. And it's like, your winner, John Cena, and crowd just going nuts. But still, WWE champion, and the place just went silent for a second, and then just the boos poured in, and I died laughing.
Sounds like it was fun, at least on a personal note for you.
Just no sweeter sound than 1,000 women and children. It's like that scene from the original Star Wars. It's as if I heard 1,000 voices all go silent at once.
All cry out at once, and we're suddenly silenced.
Yes.
I'd say, Will, if you were going to try and make a John Cena steroid joke, you should have got your mate to stand up and say, this is what John Cena will look like after he gets off the steroids.
Aw.
Who the hell was that? Someone got a laugh out of someone.
It's the woman we've been asking to punch Will in the ding-dong.
Yeah, It's my friend let me use her setup so I can be here with you bastards.
Well, thank you very much, friend.
Lauren.
Lauren. Thanks, Lauren. You're wonderful. Well, hey, you know what, guys? Why don't we talk about the Royal Rumble, and we'll preview the show right on the other side of this next little time. As we go to break, we're going to throw that thing back up on Ustream again. Everybody, B is in the lead, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Your chance to vote on this. Do you like Canadian Alliance Wrestling, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, or do you like Canadian Attitude Wrestling? Those of you who haven't voted yet, throw your votes into the chat room at the end of the night tonight. I'm going to tell you why. You'll listen to WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. Start getting broken. You start questioning your faith. I have a voice that is the savior. Hate to love and love to hate. I have a voice that has the knowledge.
Wrestling Talk has nowhere left to hide.
Running the Ropes is your definitive source for wrestling news and a more realistic perspective on a wide spectrum of topics.
No politics, no script,
no fake gimmicks.
Join Maverick and Nick on Running the Ropes, the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area, every Thursday at 6 p.m., right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the evolution of online entertainment.
The most controversial man in wrestling radio is coming back to the Free Zone. The Trey Dog is bringing back the fabulous The Bam and taking Wrestling News Live back to the people. Be sure to check out www.wrestlingnewslive.tk for information and updates. And, oh yeah, join the forums and start posting, bitches. Wrestling News Live, returning soon on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
Hey, it's Nick Anthony of OWW Radio. Now, this Tuesday, you want to be tuned in to OWW Radio as we welcome in AWA World Champion, WWF Tag Team Champion, WCW Television Champion, and yes, Model. Have you got it yet? Yep, Rick the Model Martel joins us live this Tuesday on OWW Radio. Nick Anthony, the Model Rick Martel, and you on the next OWW Radio Tuesday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on WTRN.
Yes, this is Rick the Model Martel, and you are listening to OWW Radio. Yes, of course, a lot of class.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday night. Yeah, Wrestle Talk right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know, listening to that promo that Rob Van Dam cut for us. Was there a better song for him than Pantera's Walk? Nope. Nope. I think that's the best one yet. Don't get me wrong, I like One of a Kind, you know, from WWE, but Jesus Christ, man, every time you hit Pantera Walk, look the fuck out.
Before we get to the Rumble, I'm sorry, but with that song...
Yeah.
Comparing the two, One of a Kind and Walk, you never had an entire arena turn around and sing the song with you like you did when RVD would come out to Walk.
Yeah, no shite. No shite at all. Yeah, but before we move on and get to the Royal Rumble preview, one last quick note from Will.
Yeah, during the break, I went ahead, and since I had the videos of last night's event on Facebook, I edited a few so that everyone can see them, and just so everyone knows what the links were, I'm posting them in the chat if they just want to check out some of what I saw last night.
Wow, that's a lot of links, man. Looks like the first one and the second one are the same one, but
they're not. I looked at them for a moment.
Yeah, no, it's just the last four digits of the of them are very similar.
Yeah, like, every one of them.
Yeah, there are four unique links, so feel free to check those out, courtesy of the Willmeister.
I had like eight videos in all, but I just picked out the four I liked most. Some were like just MVP's Ball and Elbow, one was of the Tower of Doom, but these four are two from the Orton-Kingston match and Triple H's entrance and the end of the Triple H Big Show match.
Cool. Okay.
So, well, we know what Spug's going to go watch.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, enjoy.
Thank you very much for that, Will. Once again, everybody, as you see on your Ustream, A, B, or C, Canadian Attitude Wrestling, option A, Canadian All Pro Wrestling, option B, Canadian Alliance Wrestling, option C. Those of you who haven't posted anything yet in those, I am desperately asking for your assistance in choosing one of these names. And once again, I'll tell you why at the end of the night. But let's preview Royal Rumble. That's next week, isn't it? Is that next week?
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
How time flies.
We're all going to get drunk.
Woohoo! Yeah, you're
sure
all
going to get drunk.
I need to make sure I got next Sunday off work then.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
everybody
get
Sunday off work. Get a, I was going to say T6, but I guess you're going to need a 40 of your favorite. And don't forget, those of you listening in the chat room, you can play along with us. We're going to play the drinking game, the Royal Rumble drinking game. And basically, every time we hear Cole say vintage, you got to take a shot. Vintage! There's another shot. All right, Brock,
and no rock. You can't cheat and pipe stuff in.
Yeah, no, he won't do that. He's on the damn ball. So, yeah, everybody in the chat room, if you want to play along with us, every time you hear Cole say vintage, grab yourself a bottle of your favorite. And those of you who are underage, you did not get that advice from me officially. You should never drink if you're a minor. Wink, wink. So, that being said, let's get to the Royal Rumble preview. Okay, so here are the matches. We've got the Women's Championship match, ECW Championship match, WWE Championship match, World Heavyweight Championship match, and then the 30-man Royal Rumble match. Now, the Women's Champion, Michelle McCool, taking on Mickie James. Guys, Michelle McCool's injured. She hasn't really done a freak of a lot except call Mickie James Piggy James, basically to build up to this match for the Royal Rumble. I'm putting my money on Mickie James, Mace.
Yeah, I'll put my money on Mickie James, too, but I want to say this for those of you who actually watched SmackDown this past Friday night. Who the hell decided that Maria could try and act intimidating?
I thought it was sexy.
Yeah, but it wasn't intimidating.
Who cares?
All it did, Will, was give you wood, let's face it.
And the awkward silence that follows.
There we go. There's no response to that one. So seeing as we got the awkward silence.
What do you want me to say? Yeah, I sat there, fat bit. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so Mickie James versus Michelle McCool, Will.
For the love of God, if Mickie James doesn't win, I am so sick of this fucking Piggy James. Oh, dear God, it's a fucking terrible fucking storyline. Jesus fucking Christ.
Alrighty then. Tell us what you really think. Don't hold back.
Yes, Mickey.
Okay, there you go. Omega.
Yeah, I got to go with Mickey on this one. If she's injured, no, she's not holding the belt. And I hate this feud. This is the worst premise for a feud. I mean, aside from Edge and Booker T feuding over a Japanese shampoo commercial that doesn't exist.
Is that what they wrestled for at WrestleMania?
Yeah, that was a WrestleMania storyline. I wanted the shampoo commercial.
Holy shit, that really didn't... Wow.
beats the shit out.
That's how bad that storyline was.
Oh, beats the shit out of my mom made me that jacket, doesn't it?
Oh, God, which one was that? I'm so glad these aren't in my head anymore.
It wasn't Booker T and Triple H dumb because,
racism.
Racist against Booker T.
Yeah, he was like, oh, you're a criminal, here, yeah, you'll never be at WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah.
And then promptly got buried by Triple H.
Wait, no. Edge Booker T was 18, my bad.
So, Spud.
Mickey James.
That's it? No elaboration, just Mickey James.
Nope, no elaboration. Mickey James, go on.
Okay,
continue with your show.
Okay, he's busy playing World of Warcraft or he's watching something.
Nope, I'm doing neither. I'm
or
doing
he really
neither.
Just doesn't care.
No, my opinion doesn't matter, so there you go.
Your opinion matters just as much as everybody else's. Quit with the sympathy trip.
Anyway, next match. ECW champion Christian
takes on Ezekiel Jackson. Does Christian finally lose the title, Will?
Hell no. They got a good thing with Christian as ECW champion, and really, does Ezekiel really feel like title material at the moment? You know, if they were going to drop the belt, it should have been on Regal. They didn't go there, and Jackson just has nothing to him that makes him feel like a champion. Yeah, it's ECW, but come on, there are still some standards. And Christian is just... There's just no reason to take it off Christian at this moment. Truth be told, if I was booking, Christian would at least hold it to WrestleMania.
Okay, Omega.
I don't know about that logic. They did give a belt to Sheamus, after all. At least Ezekiel Jackson's been around a little longer. But...
Touché.
I'm going to agree with him anyway, because, like you said, there is absolutely nothing to Ezekiel. He's a big, pissed-off black man. Okay, big deal. Moving on.
Okay, moving on. And that's exactly what we'll do. We'll move on to Mace.
Did I guess you wanted me to say something?
We were expecting it, yeah.
Okay, because my friggin' sound cut out for about a half a second there. I'm going to agree with the consensus here and go Christian, basically because they've got nothing to do with Ezekiel. Hell, even Vladimir seems more entertaining at the moment. Especially after his little segment with Santino Marella.
That's saying a lot.
That does say a little bit, yeah. All right, so, Spud.
I'm going to be a contrarian douche and say Ezekiel Jackson.
You douchebag.
Just because you want to be a douche, or do you have a reason behind it?
Did I not just say I'm going to be a contrarian douche?
Okay,
does the word contrarian give you my reasoning?
Well, there could have been more to it, but apparently not. All right, so there you go. Rumor has it, Edge returns at the Royal Rumble. Will we see that happening? I don't know. If we do, will we see something happen during the Christian Ezekiel Jackson match that has Edge's involvement? That's my question, guys.
They would not blow an Edge return on an ECW championship match.
After he makes his big return.
Did you not see what I posted during the break in our little producer chat?
Oh, yeah.
As much as I love Christian and Edge, it's not happening. Not over the ECW championship.
Okay.
Now, to be fair, there are still, I think, 6 spots in the Rumble left over. If Christian does lose and he throws himself into the Royal Rumble, we could have an interesting confrontation, at least.
They have done that before.
Yeah, well, like they say in chat, it would probably make more sense to have Edge be given one of the remaining slots for the Rumble. And then,
you know what? Oh, sorry, Tim.
and then just, you know, like, basically bend over and make Jericho humble.
And you know what? I'm just glad that the ECW Championship is being defended at the Royal Rumble. What, the first year when Chavo was champ, he was in the Rumble? What the hell was that? And I have no idea what
WrestleMania,
Swagger
he dropped it here in 3 seconds to Kane at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and what did Swagger do last year when he was champ at the Rumble? Was it Swagger Hardy? See, that's how terrible the champion Swagger was, and Hardy.
That lets you know how good they are. Okay, so moving on to the WWE Championship. Sheamus versus Randy Orton.
This is where you call a name, Tim.
Yeah. I was about to say Omega.
If you're going to do one damn thing on this show, at least moderate it.
Shut up and talk.
As sad as it makes me to admit this, they're probably going to keep it on Sheamus. I am disgusted with him as a champion. I am still not sold. I don't think he's done a damn thing to earn that belt. And this is train wreck, Cena interrupt all over it. It'll be Sheamus winning, though.
Sheamus retains. Will.
For the love of God, there's no reason for Sheamus to retain. So he probably will. I mean,
okay,
realistically, could he beat Orton? No. They would have to do the same thing they've done with Cena, which is he's got to get DQ'd or Legacy's going to fuck up and cost Orton the match. He's not going to go over clean or anything like a clean match.
Well, realistically, he doesn't deserve to beat Bob Orton, let alone Randy.
Mace, your 2 cents worth.
I'm going to say Randy Orton simply because how could the WWE not go past the, oh my God, this would be awesome at WrestleMania main event of Randy Orton versus John Cena part 1,256 billion.
Oy.
Two words. Sue me.
He actually refuted that the other day and found out that it was all false.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of, I got a back Orton up on that whole thing there where, you know, you're getting sued by this woman who's saying that he spit on her kid and all this other stuff like that. Apparently it didn't go down quite the way all the dirt sheets reported that it did.
And, oh, thank God, Orton can win at the Rumble. Yes!
Yeah, there you go. All right, so who haven't I asked yet? Would that be Spug? Go fuck yourself.
So sociable tonight.
I don't really give a fuck who wins this match, because we're all watching it for one reason and one reason only.
Vintage!
Exactly. There's no reason we're watching the show.
The problem is... Sheamus is still a rookie, so you're only guaranteed about half as many vintages.
If it's vintage Sheamus, we've got a problem.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care who wins. You know why? Because it's all setting up for the inevitable. That John Cena is going to win it at the Mania, and it's going to be fantastic, and all the little kiddies are going to poop their pants.
And by that point, we'll be all too drunk to care.
That's going to be one hell of a fun WTR post-show.
And you know, if they do say vintage Sheamus, I think at that point we just chug the bottle.
Fuck it, yeah, whatever's left, throw it back. Okay?
There aren't enough shots in the bottle.
Yeah, let's just hope that that's like a semi-main, like the second last match before the Rumble. So you're not even going to arbitrate.
That's guaranteed, Tim. It'll be WWE Championship, Rumble, then they're going to end it with Taker Mysterio.
Orton, I don't care who wins. I don't. Because it's like an Alien versus Predator. No matter who wins, we all lose. Okay. There you go. Well, I'm going to say
that was Cena Sheamus at TLC.
There you go. See, here's my prediction for you. Sheamus retains, and I'll tell you why a little bit later on. So the World Heavyweight Championship, Undertaker taking on Rey Mysterio. Pick one, Mace.
I'm going to go with the old man, just because they're going to try and keep the belt on him for some god unknown. And when he finally loses at WrestleMania, it's actually going to be worth something.
There you go. Spud. Are we picking the Rumble?
No.
No, it's the World Heavyweight Championship title, Undertaker versus Mysterio. Oh, fuck. Cena's mom. I don't give a fuck. Jesus. There you go. Will.
There is no way in hell, and for any reason, Ray should even come close to winning this championship. You know, Ray beating Angle and Orton in a triple threat match at Mania, that was barely believable as it was. Ray beating The Undertaker? Yeah, right. Okay, I'll go drown myself in booze now.
Well, that's what we're planning to do, but okay. Omega.
Oh my god, it's the... I still hold to this, that this is a match just to see who's going to break down on them first, and from the reports, it's going to be Undertaker. But they're still going to keep the belt on him until after Mania.
Okay, there you go. And the way I see it, Undertaker will retain and still hold the belt at Mania and lose the match to Shawn Michaels.
That would be fantastic.
Really?
This is his retirement match. He'll be leaving the WWE at WrestleMania, and like any good traditionalist, he'll go out on his back.
So it's going to... So Shawn Michaels...
Go out like Lita.
God. Will our Omega sue?
Omega, sue me.
Gimmick infringement. Gimmick infringement.
There you go. Now, what were you going to say before you were so jokingly interrupted?
I can't remember this one. You're actually thinking that Shawn Michaels is going to be the new career killer. That, okay, it wasn't as bad enough that he retired Ric Flair, but he's going to retire The Undertaker. And yep. you're really going to give what could potentially be the biggest push in pro wrestling history to Shawn Michaels, who does not need a bit of it.
To be fair, if you're going to get in this streak, Shawn Michaels is a hell of a guy to end it with.
But if you're going to finally end the streak, the one, you know, that nobody has ever been able to beat The Undertaker at Mania and pass a world title off at the same time, it's got to be someone who's worth doing it, but is still going to be around long enough to really enjoy it and to actually gain a career out of it. Shawn Michaels, after WrestleMania, is going to take, you know, 3 or 4 months off anyway. You're not going to see a bit of him after that.
He doesn't need
a career-making match like that. He's got a career.
So how do they get around that? I'll tell you how they get around that. Aren't they having a Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania again this year?
Most likely.
Edge wins Money in the Bank match and cashes it in. The second that Shawn Michaels wins the belt, goes out, he gets the belt back in his second pay-per-view back and winds up champion. Shawn takes his 3 months off.
Wait.
One at a time.
There's no way Edge is going to be in the Money in the Bank. It's going to be Jericho Edge at Mania.
Yeah. There is no bigger payoff match. That is going to be the match of the year candidate out of this year's WrestleMania. It's got too much build up with two of the biggest stars they got.
Oh, better build up if Edge is holding the title, guys, and hold it for the next pay per view. That gives you something to sell the next pay per view.
Tim, your booking sucks.
Yeah, well, you keep thinking that, but we'll see. Anyway, it's all speculation until and unless it happens. Your booking does suck. Let's give Edge the title, and he's just coming back. Awesome! Yay! Are you sure you're right in WWE?
To be fair, if anyone is going to retire Taker at Mania and win a championship in the first place, Edge would probably be my pick.
Sorry, Dom.
The only question I have is, what was the last thing that Spug said?
Are you sure you're not writing for the WWE? What are we talking about? We're not talking about my show. We're not talking about something I'm going to put together. We're not talking about something that we all hope to see. I'm talking about, okay, and like we should, we're trying to read WWE's mind as opposed to saying, here's what they should do.
Tim, we can't read something that's not there.
There you go. So...
But I do agree with Omega that if someone's going to take a streak, it needs to be someone that can ride off it. But unless it is someone like Edge, no matter who it would be, the company would be just absolutely torn down by every fan in existence just because of... It would have to be someone on the caliber of Edge or, say, Bryan Danielson comes in and he just tears the whole fucking house down for about 2 years.
Well, don't you guys think that...
Come on, we all know it's going to be John Cena that ends the streak.
Yeah, there you go. Don't you think that Shawn Michaels is going to be vilified by the crowd if he's the one who actually beats Taker at WrestleMania?
Whoever beats... If Taker ever gets beaten at WrestleMania...
So whoever beats is going to get vilified. Whoever beats Shawn Michaels, say the guy who wins the Money in the Bank match, cashes it in, and pins Shawn Michaels, he's going to be instant face heat right there.
No.
Unless it's a very big heel, like usually when Edge does something, but Edge will probably become... If it was Jericho, yeah.
Yeah,
well, Jericho wouldn't get the face heat. He'd get booed to hell anyways because it's Chris Jericho. It would have to be someone in a tweener position.
Yeah, and you can't. Yeah, it would be Edge because Edge is going to be the biggest face of this year. I mean, there's nothing better for a heel's career than to get injured because when they come back, they're guaranteed an easy face turn and they're guaranteed to be the biggest deal in the industry at least for a few months.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the, you know, Edge's return is going to be second only to when Triple H came back.
Absolutely. Yeah, when I read the news that Edge was progressing faster, and not only would he be ready for Mania, he might be ready for the Rumble next week, I actually got really excited. I mean, Edge is one of those guys that, you know, they pushed him so hard so often, especially with Cena and all that, that it got tiresome. You know, I got tired of seeing Edge, but now I'm really eager to see him again because I still appreciate the performance. I really want to see him again.
That's exactly how it was with Triple H. He had been on the top for so long, then all of a sudden he's gone, and you're like, where's Triple H? I want to see Triple H.
Yeah, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and when a big star comes back from an injury, they are never bigger.
Well, this is for the most part, this is true. So that's my speculation.
A good discussion.
Yeah, that's my speculation. I'm throwing it out there. I've been called a bunch of names by a lot of you on a previous programs.
Basis.
Yeah, well, when I've said you watch this, that, or the other thing might happen, and sure enough, something very close to it has wound up happening to prove me at least partially right. But I don't rub it in. So if that happens, I'm going to point it out. That's all I'm going to tell you.
And we'll go, okay, Tim, you were right. Good for you. It was bad.
There you go. So now we're at the 30-man Royal Rumble match. Who wins? Who winds up staying in the longest?
You have to start with Spug just so he can go, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, let's get that over with. Go ahead and answer that one, Spug.
Who wins the Rumble?
Yeah.
Who wins the Rumble? I'm going to put the Rumble on the shoulders of either Kofi Kingston or Christian, because I don't think a big name's going to win it this year.
Really? Now, why is that? They've had too many big-name winners in the recent past in succession, or what?
I don't think that they're going to have a big winner this year. I think it's going to be someone who is... On the way up, maybe a Morrison, a Kofi Kingston, a Swagger, you know, guys like that. Cause I think WWE's in the position right now to start pushing the mid card stars into the top card so they can start, start replenishing the ranks, if you will.
If you will.
Okay. Okay.
If that one would be... Go ahead, Will.
I'm not sure, actually. The thing I always love when going into the Rumble is when they don't make it obvious as hell who's going to win.
Yeah.
There were a few years, like when Mysterio was in the Rumble and when Benoit was number one, you knew they were going to win. Or when Triple H came back, you just knew it. And it was like, eh. But the last few years, they've been really good about still keeping it kind of vague, and it's easy to get excited about. And I don't know, just thinking about it, I think I want to agree with Spud in that I want to see a younger guy get it. Uh-huh. I'm not sure about Kofi, because they have buried Kofi like mad. I mean, honestly, I'd like to see the Shawn-Undertaker match for the title, but Shawn doesn't need the Rumble. He can get that another way. I don't want to see Cena win it. Big Show's never going to win a Rumble. You know, just... I doubt Christian will be in the Rumble, but... You know, it would be great to see him win it, if he does get in it after losing the ECW Championship. But... Truth be told, I really can't think of a guy to pick. It's just... so ambiguous white right now that it's hard to just throw a name out there. And you know what? I love that.
So this is actually a positive Royal Rumble experience you're looking towards this year as opposed to previous years.
It is. It's got a lot of big stars. It's got a lot of young stars. And if you look at the championship talent right now, McIntyre in his first title reign. Miz in his first title reign. Who are the world champions right now? Well, fuck Sheamus. Undertaker's in like his third. I don't know. I was just going through stuff and, you know, it just hit me how many young first-time guys we've got as champions at the moment. And you know what? Maybe that's a good way to do the Rumble this year, too.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that. What about you, Omega?
I'm trying to think like WWE here, and it's hard to think with a vacuum in my brain as a result. Unfortunately,
Cena wins and we riot.
Unfortunately, that's one of the ways it would go. It'd either be Cena, because it seems like Sheamus and Cena is a lock, or it would be Taker, or it'd be Shawn Michaels, because Shawn and Taker a lot, but like you said, he doesn't need that. And the original rumored match, which I would still like to see, is actually it was supposed to be Cena and Undertaker at Mania, which I wouldn't mind, because that means Cena would lose.
And then
it'd also be a fresh match. We've not seen that in fucking forever.
Yeah, everything else is old, overdone, to expected. Who I would like to see win the Rumble, just because it's been a while since he's done it, and it would create some really interesting TV, especially with Shawn Michaels so determined to face Taker again, is Triple H. I think that'd create a very interesting rift that he stole that title shot that Shawn needed.
Okay. Very interesting. Your turn
breaks
to
up the merchandising table.
What's that?
Omega's plan breaks up the biggest merchandise sellers that they've got. Interesting.
Well, keep in mind, it's Shawn Michaels and Triple H. They are both still monster merchandise sellers, separate or together.
Not only that, it wouldn't potentially have to break them up. There would be friction, but, you know, they could, well, let's see, friction's there for a while, Shawn gets his shot. There's still a bit of tension. WrestleMania comes and goes. Shawn disappears for 4 months. SummerSlam comes up. Triple H needs a partner. Boom. DX and glow sticks are back.
Yeah, that's the thing you got to remember, is that after Mania, that we're guaranteed to lose Shawn for at least 4 months while he, you know, goes rests his boo boos. And in that time, you gotta write him out somehow. So why not cause some friction and you know, write them out properly.
There
so
you
can
go.
Can I make my pick now?
Yeah.
No. I suppose you could. Go ahead, Mace, before you lose, drop your internet again.
Yeah. I'm going to say they're going to do a replay of 94. You're going to have dual winners of the Royal Rumble this year in both John Cena and Shawn Michaels, leading to an interesting build-up that they're both going to try and go after Taker. Cena's going to want it for the title. Michaels wants the win streak. They're going to battle head-to-head, ending up in a three-way at Mania.
Interesting.
Just for something different. As for the two missing spots, I'm going to call it now. We already know it's going to be Edge in one. I'm going to say we're going to see the return of Drew Carey in the Rumble this year.
Just so he can become the fastest eliminated guy?
Somebody's got to beat Santino's record.
There you
can
go.
Can I throw something at you, Mace?
Yeah, don't aim for the head, okay?
All right. Let me ask you this. Why would Cena go for Undertaker with the way the storylines are?
Because I could see Cena turning around going, you know what, I am sick and tired of chasing after marshmallows. I want to do something different. I want to make an impact. I want to make sure that my promise of winning every match I can up to WrestleMania means something, and that would be the bit to put it over the top.
But well, Cena's still
that,
out there.
That and, first, that and personal thing is, I just don't want to see Cena versus Sheamus or Cena versus Orton or Sheamus versus Orton versus Cena versus the puppy dog down the bloody street.
My God.
I want something different, damn it.
You were going to make a comment there, Omega, really quick?
That pretty much blew by. Let's keep going.
Okay, well, here it is. I'm not going to pussyfoot around. I'm not going to give you a whole long speech. But the Royal Rumble winner will be Triple H. He's going to take on Sheamus at the at WrestleMania. Is
oh, my God. No, please, Tim. Why would God, yeah. Sheamus at Mania?
A bit of an anticlimactic moment. Triple H going to need something to do after Mania because Shawn's gone for a few months. So he's going to want to add to his record to his number of times he's held the title. We all know he wants Flair's old record before he retires. He's got a couple of years left in him, doesn't want to do it all at once, and then, you know, put everybody over. So this is his next title win, however long or brief it might wind up being.
You know, I could see them doing that, if only because Flair went and jumped to TNA, and Vince is like, well, fuck Ric Flair, fuck his record, blah, blah, blah.
So
that's what Vince sounds like.
So there it is. That's a quick look at, as quick as we could get to it anyway, at Royal Rumble next week. Don't forget, everybody, WTR will be taking a look at what happened at the Royal Rumble immediately following the pay-per-view right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tell you what, guys, why don't we take a quick time out, come back, and do our great debate segments.
Yay, more Royal Rumble stuff.
There we go. Yeah, great debate. More Royal Rumble stuff. Shawn Michaels takes on Randy Orton, and Chris Benoit squares off against The Undertaker right here in the WTR Squared Circle, Rough Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
It's just another war. Just another family tour.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. The Hero Sets and Everything Wrestling. Head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips. Only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Brian Cage.
Jerry.
Candice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman.
And some more.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The Bang Cartoon Radio Hour is now on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You got some email?
We got to watching Mark Sanchez scarf down a wiener on the sidelines. Jeff Garcia immediately demanded to be traded to the Jets.
You want the latest NFL news? You won't get it here. You want NFL stats and analysis? You won't get it here.
Skip Bayless talks to Chad Ochocinco week 8.
The Steelers and the Ravens will wind up better than you. I've got you losing down the road here.
Losing what?
Baltimore? At Pittsburgh?
Chad, please.
Skip Bayless is like my crack.
If you want the best and funniest NFL podcast on the internet, join us for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, Friday nights at 8:30, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bang!
Get ready to get sinful Thursday nights here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Join our own Cindy Sin.
She's a babe.
As she opens up and talks about anything.
Anything.
And everything on her mind.
You can ignore me if you try.
Nothing is taboo. From sex talk to food to sexy cars, clothes, you name it.
Hi there, big boy.
Do I make you horny?
Oh, my gosh.
Anything goes. You can get in on the fun and ask Cindy about anything at all.
She tests very high on the strokeability scale.
By calling in during the show.
Thank you for calling.
Anything goes, Thursdays at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, yeah, man. We've got more shit we're going to talk about.
What the hell? I don't know. Just kind of sort of went that way. All right. So, guys, are you ready to start debating greatly?
No.
How about moderately?
Well, okay. Well, we've got to decide. We got to figure out which one of you guys is a master debater, I guess.
How about casually agreeing until one douchebag goes, no, I think I'm going to be the one to go contrary.
Well, that never happens, especially during the Great Debate. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right. Must have been running the ropes. My bad.
Yeah, there you go. Running the ropes. Those bastards can't keep from cursing. It's terrible. Absolutely horrible. So, yeah, here it is. Shawn Michaels versus Randy Orton, Chris Benoit versus The Undertaker. Everybody, it's the Great Debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate. From the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
It's Michael! It's Michael! It's... I can't believe it! Two years in a row!
to the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
It's Flair for life! Oh, yes! 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 Yes!
We are in search for the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time. Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now step into the ring with us as we determine who is the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time.
All right. Yeah, great debate time. Here it is. We're going to start off with Shawn Michaels. We're up against Randy Orton in the WTR squared circle. And we're going to start at the top of the list with Spug.
Before Spug answers, has anybody got a time update? Is Randy going to call in about now?
Yeah, it is almost 12:30. He calls in right after, just as we start wrapping this one up. So go ahead, Spug.
You know, I don't know why you're starting with me, for one, but two, Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
He's won it twice. He was the first guy to go coast to coast. Randy Orton's a fuckstick. There's a reason why we call him Super Gay and the Ambiguously Gay Trio.
Oh, well,
okay.
That's one way of expressing your point. Well done, Spud. Okay, so one vote for Shawn Michaels. Will?
I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels. Mostly the same reasons as Spud. Shawn was the first guy to go one to the end. He won it back-to-back 2 years in a row from 18 the next year. Not only that, he's had some awesome appearances in Rumble matches. The most recent was the one The Undertaker won in 2007 when it came down to Shawn and The Undertaker. And just watching the two of them go at it just as a prelude to what they would do a few years later at WrestleMania 25 was just awesome to watch. Orton's won, the last one? And it was okay, I guess.
By the way, we have a caller on the line. Welcome, Randy. How are you?
Damn.
How's it going?
It's good.
Good. So, were you... hang on a second, Randy. Were you finished?
Who, me?
Yeah, hang on, Randy. Yeah, well, were you finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay. So, since you called in, Randy, go ahead, pick somebody.
Well, I'm going to pick who I put as number one, Shawn Michaels. It speaks for itself what he's done in the Rumble. First person to win it from the number one position in 95, repeated the same year in 96. He almost won it back in 07 with him and Undertaker, and then, like Will was saying right now, that was like a precursor to what they would do at WrestleMania 25.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton's only won it. 09, and that's about as close as he got. I think 07 he came kind of close, but nothing really with that. So Michaels.
Yeah, in 07 it was the final four was Orton, Edge, Michaels, and Undertaker.
Okay, there you go. So Shawn Michaels, Mace.
Chalk another one up to Shawn Michaels, one of only three men to win back-to-back Royal Rumbles, first guy to go from 1 to 30. Also has one of the most replayed pieces of footage besides, in recent weeks, the Montreal incident. The 1 foot touching the floor by Shawn Michaels is a historic moment in the Rumble and is constantly used every single year since.
There you go. All right. Omega.
Once again, Shawn Michaels, and I'll cite the same reasons. First one to go from first to last, and not only that, but all the way from his first Rumble win to his second and the Iron Man match was a culmination of so much build up for his career. Not only, winning two in a row, first time it'd been done. Went to Mania, failed, got to the Rumble again, won, went to Mania, won his first championship. It is that, that point in his career was just definitive. It is defining of Shawn Michaels in general.
There you go. So Shawn Michaels, I'm making it unanimous, guys, and there's nothing I can really add in favor of Shawn Michaels that you guys haven't already said. So I'm going to basically pick on Randy Orton, following Spugsley, kind of. I'm not going to call him, I'm not going to call him Super Gay of the Ambiguously Gay Trio. Although I will give you extra credit for that one, Spud, because that was good.
He is fucking gay. He's a goddamn pole smoker.
I gave you credit for that. Okay, I just gave you.
I know you did, but I'm not done yet. I tell you what. If Randy Orton wants to sue me for slander, go ahead. And while you're at it, this is my dick. You can suck it. We know how much you like to do that.
Oh, my God. Careful, he might find it on. Anyway, Randy Orton hasn't done anything yet, okay? He's eventually going to be the number one heel of this company. That's not going to happen before he's 35. He hasn't
done anything.
And he's
going to keep baby oil sales going for a long, long time.
Yeah, for more reasons than just rubbing all over his body. But
Annalise!
I was about to leave that for Spud to explain why. But so, yeah, Shawn Michaels, it's a clean sweep. Shawn Michaels moves on. This next one, I don't know, guys. It might be a little bit tougher. Chris Benoit versus The Undertaker, and we are going to start this time with Randy.
Oh, shit. But
you called in. You're supposed to be ready.
Yeah, dude, it's your list anyway.
I know, but still, this is, I think, one of the hardest ones I came up with. It's even a little harder than Bret Hart and Lesnar to some extent. But you have to look at it like this. Benoit won, he was the only other guy to win it from number one. Of course, WWE won't say that anymore, but we all know that. And Undertaker was the first guy to win it from number 30 position. But then I look at what they did that year, and Benoit's year in 04 was just monster. He goes on, wins the Rumble, beats Triple H, makes him tap out at WrestleMania, goes to his hometown of Edmonton and wins at Backlash, and he did end up losing it till SummerSlam, pretty long time, especially with Triple H. But yeah, I'd have to go with Benoit on this.
Okay, so there's one vote for Chris Benoit. Randy, I'd like to thank you for calling in and participating in the great debate.
Mm-hmm.
Now get the hell out! Thanks, Randy. Okay, Omega, your turn.
I have to go with Benoit on this one. Right. Again, Taker winning from number 30 was special, if only because it qualified that spot as worth having, since no one had actually managed to do it for some stupid reason, and that was the one thing that everyone asked, okay, if 30 is such a coveted number, why the hell hasn't anybody won?
Yeah.
So it finally it vindicated that. It gave it some purpose and some meaning. That being said, coming in at number 30 and winning, you don't do a whole lot in order to do it. I mean, it was a great showdown between him and Shawn to end it off. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. Mm. But it's still, you come in at the very end of the match still. It doesn't compare to Chris Benoit spending an hour, 1 minute, 30 seconds in the ring in order to win. That is a long, long time to be wrestling for anybody, especially against that many people. And leading up to the moment at Mania, which unfortunately we will never get to see on TV again, it just made the whole thing really special. So, Benoit.
There you go, Chris Benoit. Mace?
I'm also throwing my vote in for Benoit, up until, let's see, what year was it? Up until, 2006, Benoit held the longest time in the Rumble, as Omega said, 1 hour, 1 minute, and 30 seconds. I've never been a fan of the whole, somebody come in at number 30, start cleaning house, look like they're going to win, and The Undertaker went through and actually won it. I would have actually said that was one hell of an accomplishment if it wasn't ruined by John Cena the very next year. So, I'm just going to say, hey, Chris Benoit.
There you go, Chris Benoit.
Oh, right.
So, Spug?
He's going to go Undertaker because, you know, Chris Benoit's Canadian.
Yeah. You know, Chris Benoit is one of my favorite wrestlers ever. So, I'm going to vote Chris Benoit because, you know, he's fucking Chris Benoit. And the other thing is that, well, Undertaker, I don't think, has the legs to ever go from 1 to 30. Ever.
Okay.
So, go Benoit. Hooray. Yay, Canada!
Okay, Rock, I need you to clip the first part of that. We got another caller on the line. Hey, Trade Dog, how you doing? Trey?
Plug the mic in, Trey. Take it off mute.
Professionalism at its highest.
Okay, no. Okay, he's got
Mike. Doesn't Will still have an opinion?
Well,
I was fighting to go last.
I'm going to just skip on to Will. Trey's got mic issues. So go ahead, Will.
Boo. I think I'm going to be the contrary dick here.
Somebody has to be. Go ahead.
No, let me actually try and do this for real. Between Undertaker and Conquistador number one.
Did you say Conquistador number one?
Wait, what? Right, yeah, Conquistador number one. He's the guy that, after that weird event where that one guy just disappeared from history, he's the one that happened to beat Shawn Michaels and Triple H at WrestleMania 20, as WWE would like us to believe. Are you high?
I'm thinking he might be a little bit, buddy.
He's drunk. He's the Scott Hall of the WTR Network.
Only one person's going to get it. It's a joke. After the Benoit tragedy, there came a point where some people just started replacing Chris Benoit with Conquistador number one, sort of like how Benoit disappeared from everything WWE related.
Yeah, no, Will, I got it too.
Okay. I don't know, the entire place went dead.
No, I kind of chuckled.
And I got images of Edge and Gold Lycra.
Ooh. Okay, for all, you know, for all seriousness here, go ahead, Will.
Anyways, truth be told, I'm not going to be so quick to jump on the number one train.
Okay.
Looking at the Undertaker, Taker, his win was big because it finally vindicated something for him. He had been in the Rumble just so many times. I think his first Rumble was, what, 90, 91? You know, he was, for years, the biggest star never to win a Royal Rumble. You know, he had never came in as early as some people, but he would always have these great showings, and he would look like he'd be right up there, and he'd get ready to win, and something would happen, and he'd be gone. Like, one memorable time was when Maven eliminated The Undertaker, so The Undertaker just proceeded to kill Maven. Good times.
Technically, Maven has never been eliminated from a Royal Rumble, so he may be one of the mystery entrants.
But, yeah, right.
So when Undertaker won it, he won it in a big way. He was the first to do it from number 30. He did it in a great showing between the final four of Rated RKO, Shawn Michaels, and himself. And it was entertaining to watch. He had done a bunch just in that one win. Benoit was going to do the coast to coast for the first time since Shawn Michaels in 95. The whole storyline being, well, I'm Paul Heyman, you're on SmackDown, you're never going to get another championship a shot again, go suck it. Oh, and by the way, you can start at number one and not get a championship shot. So, at that point, I remember watching that and going, Benoit is going to win. I don't know why, but, you know, you just looked at it and it was like, there's too much story around this guy for him not to be the guy to go all the way. And lo and behold, he not only went all the way, but Conquistador number one had the longest time in the Rumble for, what was it, Omega? Till Rey won it?
Yeah, I think Rey holds
it. 2006, when Rey Mysterio took it over.
God, that was a terrible Rumble. So, I mean, the Rumble win, even when you, well, hold on, what did Taker do in 2007? When he won the Rumble, he went on to face, that was what, WrestleMania 23? He went on to face Batista. Of course he won, that's what Undertaker does at Mania. Let's see, they had that, the last man standing at Backlash, and then he got injured, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That was the year Kennedy won the Money in the Bank. And then Edge kicked his ass. All right. Benoit, on the other hand, we all know how his year went. At the time, it was one of the most iconic images in wrestling history. The two best friends hugging at the end of the event with world championships in hand. Benoit went on to SummerSlam as the champion, and then I forgot the rest of how that year went. I'm going to make this unanimous for the moment, and I'm going to go with Benoit, if only because his run after the Royal Rumble win was a bit more impressive than what The Undertaker had done. Had The Undertaker not got injured again and may have done more, I might be going with him, but it's what they did that solidifies it for me, and so I'm going to go ahead and go with Benoit.
There you go. And with your little inside joke there, Will, you sort of blew up what I was going to say. I was just going to say nothing funny or anything like that. Just Chris Benoit, because of what wound up ultimately happening, is probably a tainted victory here. But, unanimous pretty much holds. I'm going with Benoit, too. There's nothing I can add that you guys haven't already said. So, there it is. You know, except for...
Taint!
You better,
taint! Did you say taint?
Taint. Not taint. Tainted.
Where's the taint? Randy Orton's all excited. We talk about taint.
Oh, jeez, man. Tune in Thursday night's book. Anyway.
Taint! Stop it.
In regards to Benoit, when it comes to thinking about him, I try and think about him as the wrestler he was and not the tragedy that bestowed his family towards the end of his life.
A stroke lad makes the dick slide in the anus easier.
Okay, I think he's violating the WTR wellness program yet one more time. Good job, Spud.
Not tonight, buddy.
Anyway, the only thing I've got to add about...
It, you need to be on some drugs, seriously.
Yeah. No, the only thing I've got to add about with Benoit is don't forget he eliminated Big Show by himself, you know. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like,
and he did,
twice.
He did take out Cena's mom.
What?
Alrighty then. So there it is. That's who we all picked. Trey, are you with us now? Alright, you still got mic issues.
No. I spoke so long, he had the mic working for a minute, then he was like, Jesus Christ, this guy's going on forever. Then the mic broke again.
Yeah, you screwed up. So, anyway. There you go. Chris Benoit and Shawn Michaels both moving on the Great Debate. Everybody stay tuned. We're going to be doing it again next week. The list is getting smaller and smaller as we go on. But right now!
For the record, if anyone's actually looked at the Royal Rumble website right now, you can see this big list of about 20 different wrestlers on their big splash image. And Sheamus is the tiny little inch-high one in the back.
Really?
That's still good.
Yeah, WWE champion can't even get in the first eight rows.
they're trying to hide his whiteness, and if Randy Orton's behind him, he's probably poking him in the butt.
Oh, well, got it.
Well, the image is in a white background, so it's hard to tell that it's Sheamus, but I can see the hair. That's the only thing you can see.
Well, there you go, everybody. All right, time for a few quick hits right here on WTR Sunday night. For those of you who don't figure out what we got going on, a couple of quick questions for the hosts and a couple of quick answers from them, and then we end the show. So here we go with quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, so there it is, the intro, and the first question goes to Will. Will, would you let CM Punk shave your head?
Hold on, I'm going through the Royal Rumble site to see if they've marked off. Oh my God, there's a picture of Chris Benoit on WWE.com. Anyways, I actually had a conversation with my friend about this earlier tonight. I was watching SmackDown since I was working on Friday to catch up on stuff in case we talked about anything. And I was watching the woman getting her head shaved. Mace had mentioned it earlier in the week on Facebook. And I was like, well, I'd do it to get a contract. Would I be getting out anything out of this? Or would he just be shaving my head to be a douche?
You shave your head to be a douche.
Would
you
I
be straight edge like him?
Would I be able to donate this hair to Locks for Love?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. There you go. Spug, what's the perfect strategy to win the Royal Rumble?
Hide in the corner and hug the bottom rope. There really
and go to sleep.
There really isn't one. We've seen several different strategies over the years. I will say the thing that might do you some good is to get in good with a big guy while you're in the ring, and then when he's got his back turned, kick him in the taint and knock him over. Pull a Randy Orton, give him the old Buckeye. He'll be so scared he'll run out of the ring.
All right, a lot of Randy Orton love coming from Spuggy here tonight. Mace, with all the changes TNA has made recently, what are the three things that they have done right since Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff took over?
Three things that they've done right since Hogan and Bischoff came on TV.
We might be here a while.
Yeah. Teamed up AJ Styles and Ric Flair.
Go one.
Their roster's still breathing. And they somehow seem to still have a contract with Spike.
Yeah. All right, we can go with that one.
It'll have to do, because I can't think of anything else.
Okay, Omega. Name three good things about a Vince Russo-written wrestling show.
God damn you. This is better than me and Spud trying to find five good things about John Cena and Bret Hart.
Oh, fuck, that was a long show.
Number one, I'm not going to be able to tell what's happening next.
Okay.
Neither is the talent.
Oh, I won't be able to tell what happens afterwards either.
Neither is the talent.
Yeah. Okay, so we got one down. Two to go.
It would be gratuitous use of Scott Hall, which just makes me laugh when I see him these days.
Okay. Yes.
Sounds like an AA meeting.
And the best thing about a Vince Russo booked wrestling event, they end.
Ooh, that sounds like a favorite. Endless. There you go. Okay,
see, I would have gone, he's not Hogan, he's not Bischoff, he's not Bischoff and Hogan.
Yeah, that would be too easy. That would be way too easy, Mace.
I would say that the best thing about a Vince Russo book show is that we're all kind of left with that sense of bewilderment, which is what we crave out of wrestling shows, except this sense of bewilderment is a, how the fuck did that happen? David Arquette?
No, that's the kind of, should my teacher have touched me there, bewilderment.
And you get Vince Russo's retort to anybody bringing up David Arquette. My God, if anybody talks about David Arquette one more time, I'm going to kill myself. Hey, Vince, Arquette. Okay, so back around the horn again, starting at the top. Well, if you were to star in a Disney movie, what Disney movie would you star in?
What are you laughing about, ho?
Bet the first thing in her head was Will dressed as the Tooth Fairy.
Complete with the long hair.
Will in Aladdin is the genie.
Okay, guys, this is Will's to answer. Shut up.
No, I think Spug. That's great. Spug answered it for me.
Will as the genie?
Could you see him singing Prince Ali, Ali Ababa? It'd be great.
I can't see him doing the same justice to the genie that Robin Williams did.
There's not.
Actually, I could say Will is Iago from that movie. Actually,
oh fuck! And so
Will is Jafar with the bad porn stash. Should the handlebar
Jafar with the bad stash. Somebody do me a favor and get Spug a bowl. He needs it bad. Holy.
I'm out of weed. I don't have any dealers in Ohio. This is true.
Now we know what's wrong. Okay, so as long as I'm yapping at you, Spug. What would be more enjoyable for you, taking a shot every time Michael Cole says, Vintage! Or taking a hit?
Oh my God. I'm not a drinker, really. And I'm really not a toker. I only get to do it in the winter, which is nice. Because I'm drug testing until April. Oh God. Can I do both? Honestly?
You gotta pick one or the other.
I would say take a shot, because most people aren't easily offended by alcoholism. So. Plus, alcohol doesn't have that acrid smell that permeates everything.
Depends on how much and what kind, but okay.
Dude, no, dude, I smoked my last bowl yesterday, and I tell you what, I could not get that smell out of my sweatshirt. I washed that damn thing 3 times. And it still reeked of weed.
Dude, in my lifetime, I have overdosed on practically every single fucking kind of alcohol there is out there. Trust me, there are some that leave a stink a few days after you're finished.
Did you say stank?
Stink.
Okay.
No, I said stank.
I said stink.
It stank, dude. It was raunchier than Lita's pussy. It was nasty.
Oh.
Omega,
why am I the only one who hasn't made a Lita joke tonight?
Yeah, Omega, sue these fucking guys. Gimmick infringement, dude. You're the Lita
think
joke,
of
dude.
Your own shtick.
I did. It's how Randy Orton likes to take it in the pooper.
Oh,
well,
God.
So does Lita, but you don't mention that one.
There it is.
There we were waiting. I knew you wouldn't disappoint us. All right, so now that we've got Mace back, it's your turn. Mace, if Omega were to be the star of a porn movie, what would the name of, what would the title be?
I have no idea, but all I know is that it'd be, he'd be reviewing some different sort of toys, definitely. I have no idea what it'd be called, actually. Stuff it. Just call it. Still call it Plastic Addict. It's just a different brand of toy now.
Oh, Omega said her toy box. I was thinking along the lines of Transformers, hoes in disguise.
Decepticons.
And what would his character?
I was a Transformers reference for once.
Are those your constructicles, or are you just happy to see me?
There you go. Yeah. What would Omega's character's name be? I was thinking Dickimus Prime taking on the Decepticons.
I love that Decepticons is in regular vernacular here on WCR.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to coin a new word every now and then here. Omega.
Uh-huh.
If you had one of Will's personal qualities or traits, what would it be?
My great hair.
No help from the peanut gallery.
Can I say the alcohol tolerance?
Yeah, apparently not, according to his friend there. Because he ain't got none.
Hand her the microphone, Will.
Take your dildo thing and get out of here.
She's funnier than you, Will. Put her on.
Yeah. Will's going to give it to her good later. He's going to beat her like Scott Hall. And then fuck her in the ass like Randy Orton.
All right, enough, Spock. Jesus Christ. Omega, have you got an answer to this?
Oh, that's not good enough?
You want his legendary inability to handle his liquor?
It's got to be better than mine.
Okay, there you go. Alrighty then. On that note, I've got one quick joke for you before we finalize the show tonight.
I want my 2 minutes, damn it!
Give him his 2 minutes.
Mace.
What?
Do you know why American beer is like sex in a canoe?
No, why?
They're both fucking close to water.
Oh, that's old. That was fucking terrible.
It's true. That's the thing.
Boo!
Before we move on, Rock, if you can throw that thing up, that graphic up one more time. And as I see it pop up eventually on the Ustream, there were three choices to choose from. You had Canadian Attitude Wrestling, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, or Canadian Alliance Wrestling. And the reason why I made all three of those graphics, and I wanted your input, I am right now working on a proposal to submit to certain individuals to get them to agree to give me the assistance that you would need to start an independent wrestling, an indie wrestling fed here in Calgary to replace Stampede Wrestling. And we've got it narrowed down to these three names. And before I actually present the prospectus to potential sponsors, I need to nail down the name. Canadian Attitude Wrestling, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, or Canadian Alliance Wrestling. And so far for the night, it looks like Canadian All-Pro Wrestling is winning the night. Here, everybody.
I would have liked All Pro Canadian Wrestling rather than Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, you're picking things that kind of sort of already exist in certain incarnations.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't wrestle in bloody Canada, so I don't know what federations you retards have got up there.
You don't wrestle anywhere it matters.
I'm
sorry, it's only a burn if it's something I'm going to defend, but fuck. Will nailed the fucking truth on the head there.
Okay, never mind. Exactly what I was going to say just flew right out the window because Mace humbly agrees with him. Fuck. Okay, so there it is.
I've said a million and one times, Australian pro wrestling shit. I just wish most of the idiots down here would fucking get that through their heads.
Don't you get stuck with the Lance Storm Academy torch?
Yes, we do, unfortunately.
Oh, there you go. Lance Storm's Wrestling Academy here in Calgary, but we've also got a couple other, training schools, run by members of the Hart family, either direct members or like indirect, you know, like married into the family or course, like, you know, something like that. There are a lot of wrestling, training schools here in the city, and there's like one place in the province left to wrestle now. So there's an embarrassment of riches as far as talent goes that I can book. So three of the five most important things have pretty much been taken care of as far as this goes. But if anybody has any ideas, thoughts, or opinions, I'm all ears and I'm willing to listen. As far as any of these, any of these ideas.
Are you going to book the match that Randy wants? He wants to see Mace versus Spug.
Well,
I was
going
to say get Spug up there just because I want to see him go batshit on the Canadians.
Well, there you go. You know, Mace, if you can find out how to get your ass to Canada, sure, I'll book you in the match, or in the, I'll book you in the promotion. Spug, if there's any way you can make trips out here on a regular basis, or at least
on a regular, you think I'm going to fly to Calgary on a regular basis? Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Well, I was thinking three times a year. You get paid for it the whole bit.
Well, maybe.
There you go. Yeah, I have to do the same money in. Yeah, well, okay.
You said three times a year. I went, nah, all right. I thought you were talking like once a month. I'm like, no.
No, we could do a some kind of a distant storyline where the ugly American comes and gets his ass kicked. I don't know.
Spug, you and I can team up and we can brag
shit
on all the better Canadians.
You know how there's always been like the anti-Americans and all that shit? Can we be the anti-Canadians?
Can I manage?
And just spit on Canada?
Can I wipe a Canadian flag on my ass?
I would think the same thing, but that's a bit classless.
Oh, that's a little classless. And Will, I have to tell you, if you come up to Canada and do something like that, I'll have to kick the shit out of you.
No matter how funny it would be, it's still a bit classless.
That's all there is to it. All right. So, and of course, you know, Mace, if you do come up, you're going to have to go to Manitoba for some stupid fucking reason.
May as well get yourself a work visa and spend a few months there.
Well,
that's what Tim and I have already been trying to agree on.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
best
see, the thing is, because he's Australian and not American, he could have a work visa like that. The only thing is, he has to get the money to come out here, and then he has to have a job to go to. Well, he's got a job that he can do when he comes out here. That's already been arranged.
Let's start a fundraiser.
I'm just going to get the $3,000 to get over to Canada.
Yeah, let's start a fundraiser. Get Mace the fuck out of Australia.
There you go.
This so, Mace experience decent internet.
Yeah. So before we take off, guys, Spug and I had a little bit of a chat. He's got some things he wants to say about TNA. And I promised him 2 minutes to rant.
I've got 2 minutes. 2 minutes of playtime.
It's already started. Go.
I was fucking right. That's all I got to say. I was fucking right from word one. You know why? Because everybody said how great TNA was going to be now that Hogan was there and Bischoff was there, and they were going to change things around. First, they get rid of the six-sided ring, which set them apart. Then they tell the fans to shut their fucking mouth because we want the kids, just like WWE did. And finally, not only do you have Russo booking, you have Bischoff and Hogan's arrogance. Look, TNA's not going anywhere. As complete evidence, Thursday night, they took a storyline that was 13 years old and put to bed by WWE and brought it back up with one of the original players in Earl Hebner. Why? I have no idea. Neither does anybody else. They took the greatest heel of all time in Ric Flair and put him with AJ. One of the worst heels of all time. Is it going to work? Probably not. Look, TNA is slowly digging their shallow, shallow grave. And I can't wait to see the day that Vince McMahon shows up in a TNA ring and buys him out. Because it'll prove once and for all that if you do not have competent booking and management with industry experience, not business experience, Paul Heyman proved that you need to have financial know-how, but you also need to have the brain and the psychology for the industry. It's something that these idiots don't have. It's something that Bischoff doesn't have. It's something that Hogan lost a long time ago. They don't fucking get it anymore. They think they can shove mid-90s WCW down our throats and we're going to lap it up like stupid dogs. Guess what?
And Your rant time is up. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Spud. And once again, thoughts and opinions expressed by Spud do not necessarily reflect anybody else alive.
Who cares?
Bullshit, that reflects mine.
Spud's rants are fun to listen to.
I said not necessarily. I didn't say they didn't supremely. They don't necessarily reflect anybody else's views. So there you go. That's it, everybody. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Looks like Canadian All-Pro Wrestling wins out. If you got any thoughts, opinions, ideas, admin@wildtalkradio.com. We want to get indie pro wrestling back here in Calgary. I'm working my ass off on it. If you guys are interested at all in anything, let me know. We'll talk about it. admin@wildtalkradio.com. Don't forget, Royal Rumble next Sunday night will be on the air right afterwards. Break it down. Check it out and see what exactly exploded or imploded.
Oh, God, we're all going to be drunk.
And we could be.
All of you will be drunk. I will be sitting back and laughing.
Oh,
you will witness my legend.
Yeah, Omega, next week you're the designated host, just in case.
You will witness my legendary alcohol intolerance.
We're going to. So, Will, what were your thoughts on the Rumble?
There's the Rumble? It's lead a whore.
Yeah, yeah, there you are. So, everybody, it could be an edition of Wasted Talk Radio next Sunday night. Not to rip anybody off or anything like that.
I guarantee you it's going to be great.
So, there it is. Make sure you tune in. And this week, don't forget, Tuesday night, we've got Rick the Model Martel on OWW Radio. Tuesday night.
What?
Otaku Talk Live returns. And
what?
Then stay. Spud's joining me yet one more time for some more hockey talk on Fire and Ice. But
what?
The show is going to be delayed. There's a hockey game on, so we're going to be starting anywhere 30 to 60 minutes late.
Okay!
Yeah, with everybody in the chat room,
Bill,
that's the only matters to Tony O, who's the only, well, maybe Randy, too. Who are the only two hockey fans besides me and Spud that I know on the anymore. So there it is. That's it. We're done. We're out of here. Enjoy the week. We'll catch you next Sunday night right after Rumble for WTR Sunday Night. I'm out.
Yeah.
Fuck off and buy a t-shirt.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.